Are we closer to a deal with Iran? I mean, really?
Right.
Stand by for more information on that. It is 9:06, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And without further ado, we're going to connect with Eric Donald. She's the founder of the Education Freedom Foundation, also the wife of Congressman Byron Donalds, who's a gubernatorial candidate here in Florida. And good morning, Erica. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Always great to talk to you. Hey, one of the big fears, if we can jump right into it, people are concerned about AI eliminating their jobs. I mean, this has been in the headlines for a while. What's the what have you determined?
Well, it has, and we've gotten some recent data that the AI job apocalypse, as I've deemed it, actually did not happen as predicted. You know, for the past year, we've been told that a huge share of American work is about to vanish, when actually we're seeing now hiring is increasing. However, the skills required for that boon of jobs are a bit different from what employees may be used to.
Yeah, tell us how it can be advantageous. How do we take advantage of this changing landscape?
Well, unfortunately, we saw earlier this summer booing at university commencements when the mention of AI occurred, when actually these kids, where they're coming from a college or a university that may have even banned the use of AI, are facing job descriptions that they're hiring or they're applying for that require those AI skills. Those types of jobs requiring AI skills are growing at 8 times faster than the overall market. But the good news is when they acquire those skills, which they don't need a college degree to do, they get a 62% wage premium over those that do not have skills using AI.
Well, I think some of this backlash may be part of this whole data center controversy. And I think that there's, you know, there's truth maybe on both sides, if you want to say that issue. But as long as you have, you know, important pieces in place, I don't think we should be as fearful, and they're not as damaging as I think we've been told. And I am concerned about propaganda, say, coming directly or indirectly from China, saying, oh, AI, data centers, it's all bad, so that, they can get the lead on us. What do you think about that?
That I completely agree. We all should be concerned that China is interfering with our perception, public perception of both AI and data centers. I think as people are starting to use AI and it's become a little bit more mainstream, we've seen the polling on that in terms of what people support, that being more supported. But you're right that data centers continue to be a hot button issue with very strong disapproval. However, we will lose the AI race against China if we do not have the compute power. We need to be smart about it. Florida is leading on that. And Governor DeSantis signed a law to protect consumers and residents from the negative effects potentially of any AI data centers. However, we also see evidence that China is interfering, especially using social media, to turn people against that because they want us to be using their models. They want our data. They want to be the leaders in AI in the United States, and we can't let them.
It's interesting that, you know, some booing would take place like on a university campus, because have they not learned the lesson that maybe some of us learned a little bit earlier in life, that they weren't teaching the skills necessary at the university level to keep up with what was going on with just computers per se? And
yeah,
that led to H-1B visas and led to all kinds of folks coming in from other nations taking really good jobs from Americans. So why haven't they learned that lesson? They need to get on board, right?
Well, you make such a great point. It is history repeating itself. Unfortunately, the kids coming out of these universities weren't paying attention at that point, right? So, and they probably don't know that history. You're also correct, though, that we cannot allow this to perpetuate with our young people. I feel sorry for these kids who are unprepared. The system has failed them. The institutions have failed them, I think, because, you know, professors in a higher education, many of them will be the first disrupted by AI, because these students don't need to go to university to acquire the skills necessary for the majority of jobs that are coming in the next decade. So it definitely stands to reason why they've been, you know, protecting, so to speak, the education system from AI. But I think these kids are going to find out that it's actually giving them something. It's giving them more productivity. It's giving them more opportunity, not taking something away from them.
Well, and I met a guy who was building the infrastructure for a data center in Marble, North Carolina. And he came over from, the cable side and all of that kind of technology. In other words, he's really working on the infrastructure. And he said, I just can't believe how much money I'm making and how much money they're willing to put into these centers. It's incredible. And he didn't come to the table necessarily with these, all the skills that you would need to operate AI. He came with, you know, other kinds of skills to help build the infrastructure, and there's going to be a real need in that arena as well, correct?
Yes, therein lies the huge opportunity for young people and even people who are reskilling for this boon. It is in the trades. It's in electricians and plumbers, construction workers. They are the ones who are in such high demand. And as this boom continues, especially the reindustrialization of America, when you're talking in Florida of the space economy that's being built and going to grow exponentially as we continue into commercial space, there are going to be so many more opportunities for our young people outside of a traditional university education that will give them a pathway to the American dream, high-paying jobs, and will continue to build our economy.
Yeah, here in the Sunshine State, are there any investments being made to prepare our folks for some of this transition and prepare them to take advantage of the expansion of AI?
Well, we were just awarded $40 million to help prepare students for those trades. So that's very exciting. There's already been, we have actually led it under the DeSantis administration in certifications and career and technical preparation. So we've already started down this pathway. You look at something like Miami-Dade College, which their president, their Madeline Humierga, is so innovative, adjusting for the needs of the industries that are growing and thriving here in Florida, and really pumping out an entirely new and diverse workforce for what jobs are going to be available to them, again, to help them achieve the American dream. That's what we want for every single student. So, yeah, Florida is going to be a hub of all of this activity. We have to prepare our students, and we're doing that already, and we're going to continue to grow that effort.
Well, and our universities, you covered Miami-Dade, but what about you and your husband's school? I believe that's Florida State, right? And we're in the backyard we're in the backyard of the University of Florida, so I won't shout "Go Gators" in your ear or anything. But are these two universities, are they doing their due diligence? Are they catching on? Are they getting the job done for their students?
They are. I wrote an op-ed about the booing in the university commencements, and I heard from a professor at Florida State who let me know that all of the departments are actually reporting in how they're incorporating AI into their instruction, teaching students how to use AI in their individual field. So whether that's a physics professor, an engineering professor, a hospitality professor, they're all expected to find those AI programs and utilization that will work for that industry and incorporate it into their curricula. So that's really exciting to hear that our universities are also reacting positively and preparing the students for the jobs that they're going to face when they graduate.
And then just overall, educationally, I know that we have some issues in Florida, but do you think things are getting better overall?
They are getting better. I would say we definitely have some work to do on academic excellence, especially in our middle school. We found out in the NAEP that while our fourth graders are performing extremely well, by the time those kids get to eighth grade, they've really lost ground. And I think there's a lot that we can do to improve that. We've seen things work in other states that have really doubled down, especially on the science of reading and on basic math facts. People might think you're losing it from fourth grade to eighth grade. You actually lose it before you get to fourth grade because you're not prepared for that next level of growth. So we're definitely going to be looking to implement those things to make sure that students are prepared for the long haul of high quality, excellent academic performance. We'll keep the school choice and the competitive pressure of the free market in our education system, all of those things working together are going to make sure Florida is a leader in the country and really around the world.
Well, I love the things that you're bringing to the table and sharing with us. Erica Donalds, founder of the Education Freedom Foundation, we appreciate your time and keep fighting for Florida. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you take care. Go Gators.
Yeah. You went until she was gone, didn't you?
No. Yeah. I just had her for a second there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
She sounds like a good sport.
Oh, yeah.
9:16 on the Bob Rose Show. I mean, after all, we're all in this together in the Sunshine State.
Absolutely.
And we want to make the best of any opportunities that are coming our way. Sounds like she's on top of it for sure. Hey, coming up in about 30 minutes, things that make you smile. We're looking for upbeat, positive thoughts. In the meantime, we've got your top stories, headlines, maybe an opinion or two we'll throw out there. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. So let me get this straight. Experts on the law are pushing for a law that already exists? We'll dig into that in just a minute. Good morning and welcome. It's 9:20 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, New York Bar Association, they passed a resolution. They were urging federal, state, and local governments to ban conversion devices on firearms. Now, the announcement centered on the so-called Glock switches, which are popular with gangs and street criminals known to shoot indiscriminately at people. That's not good.
No.
The problem with the push to ban the switches is that they're already banned.
So you think maybe if in a world where in your line of work, you know, research and homework and, you know, finding out the facts ahead of time as you're working on a case, wouldn't you think they would have somebody thought to check into that first?
Yeah, if you're pushing or promoting something that you want to turn into law, you might want to see, is there an existing law? And if there is, you know, what is it and how does it impact what you're attempting to do and why the duplication of effort once you found out that it's already the law? Like you said, I guess they never did any homework on it, which, you know, people that don't understand the Second Amendment, I guess we shouldn't be shocked that they didn't do their due diligence or their homework, you know, because it's based on feelings.
Yeah.
I just feel like there should be a law. What? But there already is. But yeah, but I feel like I want to promote it.
Yes, we did it again. But is this a case of agenda overriding any common sense whatsoever?
Yes.
I thought so.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I determine it to be. Yeah.
Wow.
And by their own point, gangbangers are using that kind of thing. It's illegal. You know what else is illegal?
What's that?
Indiscriminately shooting a firearm anywhere, anytime.
Well, maybe they'll come up with another law and make it illegal again.
Hey, now that's an
I feel safer already.
Yeah.
This is the American Bar Association.
You know what else should be illegal?
What's that?
Shooting people and killing them. That really, they're lenient laws.
Why have we not come up with this before?
I'm not sure.
Nobody thought of this before?
Well, it sounds like no.
Right.
Yeah.
Geniuses. Wow.
In an ominous sign of the troubles to come, the Donner Party finds a note warning the immigrants that their expected route through the mountains ahead is nearly impassable.
Oh, this isn't going to end well.
It was on this day in 1846 that the Donner Party had received some word here. This is when they encountered their first delay. Mm. They left Springfield, Illinois 3 months earlier. It was pretty tough going back in the day to travel west, and they were led by two wealthy brothers, Jacob and George Donner. The immigrants initially followed the regular California Trail westward to Fort Bridger, Wyoming. And then from there, the immigrants decided to leave the established trail and take a new and supposedly shorter route to California that apparently was laid out by an unscrupulous trail guide named Lansford Hastings.
Uh-oh.
Hastings was not at Fort Brigadier at the time. He was leading an earlier wagon train along his new route. He left word for the Donner Party to follow, promising that he would mark the trail for them. So reassured, the group of 89 immigrants left Fort Bridger on with their 20 wagons and headed for Weber Canyon, where Hastings claimed there was an easy passage through the rugged Wasatch Mountains. And those are pretty rugged mountains, all right? On this day, in 1846, they reached the head of the canyon, where they found the note from Hastings attached to a forked stick. Hastings warned the Donner Party that the route ahead was more difficult than he had thought, and he asked the immigrants to make camp there and wait until he could return to show them a better way. Well, of course, that note troubled them. To return to Fort Bridger to pick up the established route would have meant wasting several days. They decided to wait for Hastings. After 8 days, when he still didn't arrive, the immigrants sent a messenger up the canyon to find the guide. The messenger returned several days later with instructions from Hastings to follow another trail, and the immigrants complied. The alternate route, however, turned out to be even worse than the Weber Canyon Road, and the immigrants had to carve a fresh road through thick trees and boulder-strewn ground. Remember, they've got these wagons with those huge wooden wheels.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
The Donner Party finally made it through the Wasatch Mountains and arrived at the Great Salt Lake. Hastings' route had cost them 18 valuable days. Wow. Unfortunately, their difficulties were only beginning. The shortcut to California had cost them many wasted days, and the Donner Party crossed the Sierra Nevada Mountains late in the season. And, of course, most of you know where this is going. Mm-hmm. On October 28th, a heavy snowfall blocked the high mountain passes, trapping the immigrants in a frozen wilderness, eventually reduced to cannibalism to survive.
Wow.
Only 45 of the original 89 immigrants reached California the following year.
Mm.
Yep. So whenever you mention the word Donner,
yes,
for most people who've heard that story, and you only have to hear it once, and it will burn into your memory. I had the I got to travel out that way, and I was up in Tahoe and that area, the Sierra Nevadas and all that. It is interesting that so many things are named after the Donner family.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's Lake Donner. Wow. There's a little town. There's a ton of stuff that has the Donner name on it.
That's interesting.
And my understanding is that historically, even those that did survive, many of them had severe mental problems, what we might call today as severe PTSD.
I have no doubt. I mean, just the trip alone.
The trip alone, if it went okay, was arduous and
right,
was taxing and would have played a role in people having difficulty dealing with all that. But then to be snowed in, and I mean, eating the leather on their shoes and all kinds of stuff before they succumb to the cannibalism.
That'll stay with you. And basically half of them surviving the trip. Wow.
Scary stuff.
Yeah.
And people were brave.
Oh, man.
But then that's where the whole thing came from, when somebody says, hey, I know a shortcut.
Yeah.
Everybody takes a pause and looks around because they found out the hard way that sometimes a shortcut is exactly the opposite. 9:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, coming up in 15 minutes. Things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts. Hang on. 97.3 The Sky. Happy Thursday. I like going to the fair. Fairs are fun.
Oh, yeah. The food?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I call elephant ears, but I think you call them something else.
Oh, what was
Didn't we have that discussion
one
time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of those good healthy.
You can't remember
things.
What it is, but I call it an elephant ear. You can't remember what you call it.
Well, that totally threw me off because that's not what they're called, but you know.
It's one of those regional things. I'm pretty sure.
Powdered sugar covered.
Yeah, elephant ear. Looks like an elephant ear, tastes like an elephant ear.
Does it really? With sugar on it.
Well, I don't know. That one time I got kicked out of that zoo in Tampa.
Yeah, that's true.
They shouldn't have put it so close to Busch Gardens and the brewery. Mm. Good morning and welcome. It's 9:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And, of course, we always have a lot to talk about. And going to the fair is one of them. So you're in Southern California. You're in Orange County. A lot of Orange County is like what I say, you know, could be normal, right? Yeah. But the fair itself and the people that run it, they denied the Republican Party, the GOP, to have a booth in this year's fair. Just a booth, you know, hand out things, vote Republican, vote for our candidate, you know, did you register to vote or whatever, right? That's what they do, you know, shake hands, and sometimes there's some tchotchkes involved. So you take advantage of that, right? So there's that. But this year, it's interesting because they're saying, hey, this art that could be considered highly political and maybe even dangerous is perfectly fine, but the GOP can't set up a booth. Yeah. And so the GOP party chairman, Will O'Neill, sent out a letter. And he said that, look, Sunday, authorities arrested a 38-year-old man who was allegedly doing suspicious surveillance on a coastal Trump-owned golf course when the president expected to visit. It's about 40 miles from the fairgrounds in question. Well, they had a display in their art room of a framed photo that essentially calls for the death of President Donald Trump. So the GOP leader wasn't just irritated about not having a booth, but at the same time, this disgusting so-called art display. The anti-Trump photograph shows a child holding a sign that reads, "Happy Last Birthday."
Wow.
Next to another sign with a caricature of Donald Trump, as well as other anti-Trump images. And the work is attributed to a so-called artist, Alexander Nugent, and titled The Young Fight. And but, I mean, think about it. This is at a time and a president who has already been under attack and attempts have been made on his life. And then one is made just 40 miles from those fairgrounds after they have this kind of a so-called art piece. Yeah.
The irony then of not letting the GOP even have a booth. Okay. Yeah, that seems fair at the fair.
And in Orange County, which I think is considered, you know, usually more
normal,
red and conservative overall. All right, so there's that. Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, GMC Skylines, and talk to Rosebud. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, but I want to talk about Donner and all them people, but I just got to say, anybody that doesn't know about Donald Trump and his golf courses, look up that golf course there at Rancho Palo Verde or wherever it is. It's right there on the coast. What a beautiful piece of property. I don't golf, but just the scenery. Just go here and walk around just to see right there in the Southern Pacific Ocean. I mean, he's got some of the most fantastic properties all over this world for golf courses. And I just had to say that because I'm a Trump supporter. And but Donner Pass, Bob, and you're talking about months to get there. Well, where you were at, you were up there in around Taos, and I mean, Reno and all that. Well, Donner Pass through there on 80, right there, Truckee. And
yep.
There's a couple of spots in there. Now it's modern. It's got the interstate that where they vehicles go off the side of the mountain, fall off the mountain, and they say that they're still down there. They go in and get the bodies because it's too hard to recover the vehicles for that, for those crazy sheer drop off canyons down there. They're so hard to get to. But just think of it, the Donner people from Springfield. They made it to California where a whole winter, and look what truckers do nowadays. Hit 80, load and load of produce. They're putting it in Chicago probably in 40 hours, two drivers. I used to run Salinas to Miami, 52 with a co-driver, fresh produce coming from Salinas. And it's trucking. We went from four horses or six horse teams to 450, 500 horse big kitty cats and big Cumminses under the hood to get that stuff to the people in time before it rots and stuff. I just got to praise my road haulers because I ain't a road hauler no more, but that's me. That's who I'll be. I'm waiting to go home, and God takes me home, and I can go space trucking with Jesus. But I'll have I want to have instead of a truck, have a chariot pulled by my two big kitty cats, my 700-pound kitty cats, yellow and black stripers. Come on, babies, let's go. Just like I used to say to my caterpillar, my kitty cat, open the hood, 6 o'clock at night at a dinner, and it was my turn to drive, look Miss Kitty over both sides, give her a little kiss, and put it on the injection pump, and then on the computer and later engines, and it's crazy. People think I was nuts. I said, okay, lower the hood, boy. Lock it up. Let's go. And put that cat, warm her up, and she give me the ride of my life all night long. Come on, baby. I'm 40, over to Hatchie. I'm 40. Next breakfast at Abilene, Texas. Steak and eggs for breakfast. And keep on trucking all the way to Miami to get this fresh produce. And now look at our produce. I just said that's what I want to finish with. Salmonella, Listeria, Cyclosporin. Now we got, it's all coming from outside our country, I believe. And it's got all kind of bacteria hurting and sickening people. We need to get back to American produce. Get back, get Salinas and that San Joaquin Valley back to where it was. And not let the nutbags out there destroy it. Just like the nutbags are trying to destroy the rest of our citrus and the rest of our farming areas in the state of Florida. God bless America, folks. Thanks for letting me rant a little bit, Bob. And thank you, truckers, for what you do. The ones that are still out there pushing in this traffic. Woo! I don't know if I could do it anymore. But God bless America. Thanks, Bob. And have a nice day.
You too, Rosebud. God bless you. When I was out there the last time in that area, yep. Interstate 80 was closed. They had 10 feet of snow that fell in a short period of time. 10 feet. And the truckers, nobody could get through. It was closed. When I got there to go skiing on Monday,
yep.
They had just opened the interstate.
Wow.
And truckers still had to have chains. On their tires, big 18-wheelers. Imagine putting the chains on those things.
No.
And they had to have those to get up for safety and stuff. Yeah. So still, in the modern era, how challenging Mother Nature can be.
And doing that in a wagon.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the correct name of the fair food that we were talking about earlier, because the dough comes from a funnel and is put
funnel cakes.
There you see. You
doesn't look like a funnel.
Sure does.
You take you funnel the dough out,
yes.
And it forms an elephant ear. And everybody knows that I'm right. Except for you and what? Did you get that off a caller?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See, they know.
From St. Louis?
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
See.
Well, the world is bigger than St. Louis, Greg. And, eventually you'll start to catch on to that.
What do they call them here in Florida?
Elephant ears.
Really?
That's what they are.
Okay.
Why would they call them something different?
Because they're funnel cakes.
Look. You're from the Show Me State, and I showed you. It looks like an elephant ear.
Oh.
You're done.
See, I it depends how they shape them.
Right now, I'm licking my finger and chalking up another win on the Bob side.
I don't know about
another big,
I don't know.
Another big win. I can tell you what's not a win. Yeah. Not a win for James Fishback, a federal judge.
Yeah.
Could have been named George. But anyway, found in favor of his former company that he worked for. And so Fishback owes his former company $1.3 million in attorney's fees and costs. Yep. And the case was based on that, he had some proprietary information that he took and used to start his own. I guess this was like investment type work. Yeah, his own investment firm. And the company came from Greenlight. Did not like that.
Hmm.
And so the judge has found in favor of them, at least for court costs, et cetera, and attorney's fees, $1.3 million. So I don't think, if he does win the governorship, I think that gig only pays like $300,000 or something, doesn't it?
How do you get by on that?
Well,
I wish
it's much harder to get by when you're making payments on $1.3 million.
Oh, there's that.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I just got an email. Look here. On my Florida Sky email from a Florida listener and a Florida person just says, funnel cake! !
Huh.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Another smart.
You know
person.
Why we don't call them funnel cakes in Florida?
Why is that?
Because they look like tornadoes. Yeah, and we don't like that.
That we do.
And you coming from St.
Yes.
Louis should feel the same way.
We know about those.
But you go to the fair and have a good time and order up your tornado cakes. Okay, you go ahead and do that.
Didn't hunger anyone? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They are yummy.
Yes. indeed. Can't eat much of one.
Except that you look like you went to a Coke party afterwards, because that powdered sugar all over the thing.
Uh-huh.
But it is yummy.
And what's your level of experience on the analogy
I've
there?
I've seen movies, Bob.
Okay. A little too much Miami Vice reruns, I think, there. But that explains the T-shirt, the jacket.
That could be.
All right. Our friend, Crazy Crockett, is in the news.
Crazy Crockett. Yeah.
Yep. She's unsure if Texas Democrat Senate candidate James Tallarico will be able to flip Texas blue.
Ooh.
Was that because he beat her in a primary?
So she's not supportive of him because he beat her? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but she wants to go out and work, you know, hard for her party. But she's not sure she wants to get on the ground and necessarily work to help him out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it's only because, you know, she doesn't think he can win.
Bitter party of one.
I think you nailed that for sure.
She's crazy. All right. She's crazy.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. 9:46 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up next, it is your turn. That's ours, too, if we choose it to be. But we call it things that make you smile. We look for upbeat, positive thoughts that you share with us and we share with you. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile. Brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. Things that make you smile is next. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 9:51, 9 minutes until 10 o'clock. It is time for things that make you smile. Upbeat positive thoughts that you share with us and we share with you. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Things that make you smile is brought to you by my dentist, Transformation Dentistry, and Dr. Samantha Annis. And good morning, Mark. What's making you smile?
Hey, Bob and Greg, what's making me smile is the temperatures seem distinctly lower the past couple of days, which makes it easier for yard work, meaning I only have to do 2 showers per day instead of the usual 3 with yard work. So I hope it sticks. We have a winter coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Don't go buy those fur-lined boots just yet.
No,
I would.
So, I got a text from somebody who did a little homework on the funnel cake versus the elephant ear.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, Bob, you know what? And it makes me smile. We're both right.
We were talking about what I guess amounts to two slightly different.
Yes, it is fair food. And the reason that I call it a funnel cake and why it's called a funnel cake, it's like this big paper funnel. And they've got, like, pancake dough in it, and you've got the grease, you know, doing its thing. Mm-hmm. And they funnel it through the funnel.
Like in a swirl?
Yeah, and then that's why. And then you put the powdered sugar on it, and it's called a funnel cake. Elephant ears is like a yeast-made patty that looks like...
Well, it actually is an ear.
There you go.
Everybody thinks it's made out of dough.
Yeah.
No.
Ooh,
I would never eat an elephant's ear. I like elephants.
Oh, he likes elephants. So anyway.
Not to eat.
So they were a slightly different thing. We just didn't realize we were talking about two different things.
We just thought fair food, fried up. It is what it is.
So it may depend on the country where you are, what they actually prepare.
Which one is like healthier?
Okay,
we'd
both lose on that one, I think.
Well, maybe you're on the right track since I've already had 2 heart attacks, so maybe fried food advice from me is not maybe the best advice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, follow me for more dietary advice.
Maybe not.
All right. Makes me smile that President Trump was able to go out on stage yesterday in Las Vegas at the Red Rock Casino and tout real numbers and real fake. No, he... Are you playing roulette?
Wasn't he? Oh, you said he was in Vegas.
Well, he might have been playing roulette.
He could have been.
I don't know. I mean, he's owned casinos. Does he actually gamble?
I doubt it.
He might not.
Always in business. He gambles in his life.
That's his gambling.
Every day, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, 40,000 new jobs in Nevada since he has been president, and he got 100,000 people lifted off of food stamps. So he has another good economic message to share with people. And too bad you'll only hear it on, you know, talk radio and Fox News and a couple other outlets. Hopefully the alphabet people will, let's not get carried away. Hollywood, good morning. What's making you smile?
Oh, you guys make me smile every day.
Right on.
My wife and I just took a position at Eden Baptist Church out there in Hawthorne as the worship leader. And on Tuesday nights, they have a Turning Point USA group, and everybody is studying the Constitution, which unfortunately nobody has read. But I just, you know, I think it's important that our young people, you know, really learn about our founding fathers and their faith in God. And anyway, so God bless you guys, and God bless America, and keep smiling.
You bet.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Hollywood.
He always makes us smile.
Yeah, he does. And, yeah, learning about the Constitution is always a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and people do need to be more, you know, perhaps educated on all of that, and maybe there wouldn't be this draw toward socialism, communism, and
I know. I think that's what confuses those of us who were maybe raised a little different in the things that we learned in school, the things that we were taught that were important. And, you know, I've told you about my third grade teacher, Miss Perry, mean Miss Perry. But, man, when you stood and you did the Pledge of Allegiance, you did not snicker, you did not talk. She was a patriot, and we were raised and taught by patriots when we were growing up. Unfortunately, you get to the collegiate level nowadays, and wow, you've got a bunch of wackadoodles teaching our kids all kinds of stuff.
Well, they're teaching them basically that America is evil, built on the backs of slaves, mm-hmm. and we're bad people who have done bad things, and they don't look at it like we are the bastion and the beacon of light and freedom around the globe, and they don't understand that. They've never been taught that,
mm-hmm.
and they've also been taught to not listen to other ideas, to be very close-minded. You give people information, you teach them how to learn, and then let them learn. Now they tell them what they think they need to learn, and only that. That's called brainwashing. Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. An illegal alien accused of possessing several Molotov cocktails while walking the streets of Will County, Illinois, home to many suburbs of Chicago. Hamad El-Sadi, 31-year-old, whom prosecutors say has been twice deemed inadmissible alien to the United States, yet he'd been arrested again. Police actually helped him at one point. Then they saw him later in the evening, you know, walking down the street in the middle of traffic. And when they investigated further, officers found 8 Molotov cocktails in his possession. And he faced the judge, and the judge says, okay, we'll set a court date. You're free to go. Oh, but you'll be monitored through a GPS tracker. Wow. Hey, remember, happy hour never includes Molotov cocktails. And that is your smoking gun, brought to you by Harry Beck with Guns and Range in Micanopy. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.